Welcome to Jersey Guy Sports, your sports talk home for the Yankees, Giants, Rangers, and Rutgers Scarlet Knights, and I'm your host, Don. Thanks for tuning in. Today I'll be discussing the Rangers losing on the road to the Pittsburgh Penguins 1-0 on Saturday afternoon, and Rutgers lost to Wisconsin Saturday night at the Rack. So let's go ahead and get started. So the Rangers played the Pittsburgh Penguins on Saturday afternoon for the first time this year. They lost 1-0 in a game that was pretty hard fought from the get-go in Pittsburgh. The Rangers' lack of 5-on-5 scoring was back in full effect again on Saturday, and while it was a fairly strong defensive effort, again, the Rangers continue to be incredibly ineffective at putting the puck in the net in a 5-on-5, and it's been said over and over and over this year, and it persists as we approach March now. Another game with 0 goals 5-on-5. Panarin, again, was a bit off throughout the effort, I thought. I really want to see Artemi elevate his game more than he has against some of these elite teams. And recently, again, he hasn't done it. I don't know what it is with him this year, but this was another game where he was okay, but again, he was just not very effective. Shesterkin was his usual excellent self, of course, denying the Penguins time after time, particularly in the second period. Igor is just money in net, of course. Kreider missed a wide-open net on a brilliant diagonal pass from Fox that was off the rush about midway through, I think it was the second period. It was an open net. The Rangers could have took the lead. There was no score in the game at that time. That pissed me off. Kreider seems to be reverting back to, you know, is Kreider in the game? And when he is, oh, it's just off his stick, that kind of Kreider. And I don't want to see it because the Rangers already are hurting for scoring 5-on-5, and they cannot have it where Kreider goes silent again for 10 or 15 games. Tempers in this game really started to flare in the second period. There were lots of after-the-whistle scrums and some hard hitting. You know, good stuff to see if you're a hockey fan, honestly. And, you know, really one of the reasons I love hockey, and I think one of the reasons many people like hockey, is the fact that you are, you know, somewhat allowed to fight in scrum, right? You know, it fires up the crowd, fires up the teams, and it's exciting to watch. It's exciting for fans. You know, as long as no one gets hurt in the game, it's generally great for hockey. I'm glad they have it. You know, a chippy game in hockey is usually a good game in hockey. Almost any longtime hockey fan will tell you that. This one got chippy in the second period, and it stayed that way throughout. A third period goal, though, you know, for Pittsburgh gave the Penguins a 1-0 lead. It was on the power play, and that single goal would hold up for the win eventually. You know, after that, there was a chippy long scrum in the corner for a trap puck where almost it felt like the entire 10 skaters for both teams were in there in a little scrum. The Rangers came out of it with a power play, and this was midway through the third period, but the Rangers could not cash in. The Rangers, I noticed, didn't get too many second-chance opportunities all night, and it certainly hurt them. It seemed like there was a lack of effort a little bit to get in front of the net. You know, more of that than, you know, the Penguins D doing a great job maybe clearing the Rangers away from the crease. I felt it was more of the former, where, you know, it was kind of a lack of effort. I mean, maybe it was a combination, but I kept thinking that there was not nearly enough distraction of the goaltender. They did seem to have a few chances, but not nearly enough high-quality chances, at least in my opinion, and very few second-chance opportunities. This will go down in the end as a tough loss to a good team on the road, where the Rangers played pretty well defensively. They got outstanding goaltending, and yet again could not score 5-on-5. So, you know, where we heard this before. You know, if they don't get this fixed, either through some kind of call-ups or some big trade at the deadline, this is the story we're going to hear about the Rangers in the playoffs, I would expect. I mean, something has to change soon, and hopefully it will. Kreider, as I mentioned, was not visible for most of the afternoon. Again, it feels like Kreider is about to do, you know, one of his season flops. You know, I hope he proves me wrong. He's one of the more streaky players in hockey, as anyone that watches him knows. And if he goes on one of these downward streaks, you know, the Rangers are going to be in big trouble. He's very streaky his whole career. This year he's kind of avoided it, but I feel like he's going into one now. We'll see. I hope he proves me wrong. Strome was also ineffective. Strome has had another very, very good season up until recently, right? But it does seem that some of the bloom is coming off the rose for Strome recently. I don't know if it's, you know, he's just getting worn down or what. I mean, the last, say, 4, 5, 6 games, he does not seem nearly as effective. In the shootout, he missed a wide-open net. He hasn't played well lately. He took penalties at the end of the two periods in the previous game against Washington. I don't know. There's something recently about Strome where his game is definitely going downhill and it needs to go the other way. Strome and Kreider's game is definitely subpar at the moment, and you can probably add Panarin to that as well. On the positive side, Zach Jones and Snyder had another great game on defense. These are the two rookies, as you may know. It continues to kill me, you know, to know that they're going to play Nemeth as soon as he gets back in the lineup. He's now out on paternity leave, and he's going to probably play a lot as soon as he gets back. And if those of you don't know him, Nemeth is an older, aging, slow defenseman that makes a lot of mistakes, takes bad angles, takes penalties, and generally should not be on the Rangers. Zach Jones is a rookie. Schneider is a rookie. They're both playing very well, particularly Schneider, but lately Zach Jones as well. They pair well together. One's right defense, one's left. One is big and hits a lot, and the other, Zach Jones, is smaller, moves the puck very well. He made a couple of very nice clears of the puck under heavy pressure on Saturday afternoon. I hope they stay together. And if they do bring Nemeth back, it would be an absolute downgrade for the Rangers. We'll have to see what happens. Another kind of side note here. ABC had the game on Saturday afternoon. It seemed like when I was listening to it, at least through my surround sound, the crowd noise and the effects were way up, which I generally like, but the announcers' voices were extremely low, especially relative to the crowd noise. And you can hear the pucks and the refs and every time the puck hit the boards, and especially the crowd, it was distracting. It was actually very hard to hear the announcers, which in many cases I like, but in this case, I wanted to hear them a little bit. They also, ABC, had these high-angle, very fast-moving sort of mobile camera shots, like a blimp view sometimes. Many times it happened when one of the teams was on the power play, but other times they went to it as well. It was actually somewhat interesting in certain spots. You know, you got to see a wider perspective of the ice, but it ended up being a little too far away to be an effective kind of camera shot most of the time. I did appreciate, like I said, the longer perspective and that ability to see, you know, more of the ice, but you have to balance that against the downside of it's just too far away, and it's hard to see exactly where the puck is and who made what move in certain spots anyway. In any case, ABC did an okay, I think, job of broadcasting hockey since they haven't done it in a very long time. And, you know, we're going to see a lot more of it from ABC and ESPN since they have a big hockey contract that they just signed with the NHL over the next several years. So, interesting. Rangers are back in action Sunday night against Vancouver, and most certainly we'll have Georgiev in goal. So, let's go Rangers for Sunday night. I'm going to move on to Rutgers, Wisconsin. Rutgers lost to Wisconsin 66-61 Saturday evening at the Rack. It was a game that Rutgers needed badly for their NCAA tournament hopes. And in losing this game, Rutgers is now on the brink of not making the NCAA tournament. It's likely that they'll need to win their last two games to have any chance of making it. And hopefully they will. But this one was kind of a crusher. Rutgers had another slow start to the game on Saturday, and it bothers the shit out of me. They had three turnovers in the first 3 minutes. They missed several shots. Harper and Geo missed a couple early shots. McConnell missed a wide open three. Mulcahy had a turnover and an offensive foul inside the first 3 minutes of the friggin' game. It took Rutgers 3.5 minutes to actually score a friggin' point in the damn game. 5 minutes into the first half, Rutgers had two entire points. I mean, I don't know how this happens. You know, 5 minutes into a huge home game in front of a packed house, you have 2 points. McConnell had an early turnover. Geo McConnell missed some free throws early. They've got to get back to starting games better than they have recently. They went through a long streak of starting poorly. Then they started better and ended up winning a lot of those games. And now they're back to starting poorly again. Rutgers was friggin' 2 of 11 shooting as of like 9 minutes into the game, including 0 for 5 from three-point land. So, you know, with 11 minutes left in the first half, they shot 2 of 11. They were 0 for 5 from three-point lands. They had a whole bunch of fouls, a bunch of turnovers. They have to be better. Drives me nuts. It was another game like Michigan where in the beginning, right, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, Rutgers seemed to forget about guarding the three-point line on top of it. So these woes they have in the beginning of these games are not just offensive woes, even though that's what everybody points to. They seem to have these defensive lapses early in the games too, but that's overlooked because of how badly they play offensively early in the game. Wisconsin made maybe 3-4 open three-pointers within the first, say, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes of the game, and they were open, and they nailed them. Johnny Davis from Wisconsin, one of the great players in the Big Ten. He's an All-America type player. He started strong, but ended up not impacting us too much in the first half, and really not as much overall in the game as well. But again, Rutgers has to do better to start these games. Rutgers continued to miss shots throughout the first half. Mulcahy turned the ball over on an alley-oop attempt. Then Amari missed a second alley-oop attempt, although I thought he was fouled on that one. With about 5 minutes left in the first half, Rutgers ended up having 2 friggin' turnovers in about 6 seconds of game time. Mulcahy was sloppy at the offensive end, turned it over, led to a fast break layup. Then right after the inbounds pass from that fast break layup, Gio threw a long pass too far over Harper's head and went out of bounds. So Rutgers was extremely sloppy and continued to turn the ball over throughout the first half. It's just, it drives you nuts sometimes. Mulcahy later picked up a second foul in the first half with an offensive foul. He had another bad first half, and he kind of needs to do better. You know, wide open three-pointers for Wisconsin continued to kill Rutgers, you know, for the rest of the first half and honestly most of the game. The first half ended with Wisconsin up 33-24. And I give that halftime score, 33-24, Wisconsin, because it is not acceptable for Rutgers to be held to 24 friggin' points in the first half at home in such an important, critical Big Ten game. It's nuts. I'm sorry, but it's not acceptable. At this level, I don't care how good the friggin' opponent is. Rutgers has actually proven they can compete with this kind of team, right? They've beaten Wisconsin, an excellent Wisconsin team, on the road a couple weeks ago. So Rutgers beat this team on their home court a couple weeks ago. So for Rutgers to come out and score 24 friggin' points in the first half and look like dog shit for the first 20 minutes, it's head-scratching, and it drives me friggin' nuts. I want to bang my head on the wall. It doesn't make any sense, and this team continues to confound its fans. Looking great when you think they're going to suck, and looking like dog shit when you think they should be playing better. And dog shit was how they looked tonight for most of the early part of this game. The second half started, something started to change, right? Gio hit 3 quick baskets and generally came out on fire. The refs then made a bullshit third foul call on Mulcahy early in the second half. Mulcahy deserves most of the fouls he's been taking, you know, in this game and in previous games. But that third foul was just some horseshit call. So Mulcahy was out, sitting on the bench with 18 minutes left in the game. McConnell drives me nuts offensively. McConnell continued to suck offensively in the second half. I continue to dislike McConnell's offense. Once in a while, he gets into these hot streaks, hits a few baskets, and you say, oh, yeah, he did a few things. But most of the time, I think McConnell just needs to pass the damn ball and continue to play great defense. When he tries to score too much, it hurts. He did it a couple times in this game, especially when the game was close, and it really hurt us when I thought, you know, Gio or Harper should have taken the shot. Rutgers got to within 39-36, mostly because of Gio Baker. And then after that, they missed several big shots with the crowd basically in a frenzy. You know, Harper missed a wide open three-pointer. Jalen Miller took an offensive foul charging call, you know, on a 2-on-1 fast break. McConnell finally, you know, hit a three-pointer, believe it or not. It was at an opportune time, too, and it got Rutgers back to within 1, 40-39. As quickly as Gio got hot in the second half, he went just as cold, you know, for about 8 minutes, not doing much of anything at all. Mulcahy ended up picking up a dreadful fourth foul with 9 minutes left in the game, so back on the friggin' bench he went. In the process of giving up an offensive rebound on top of it to Wisconsin. So there you go. Like, not only did he take a fourth foul, but it was after the shot clock was running out as it buzzed. So it would have been a turnover. He fouls and takes his fourth foul on top of it. He continues to get into foul trouble lately, and it's a huge issue for Rutgers. Okay, he has got to turn this around. He's another one that sort of embodies Rutgers, you know, up and down season. You know, it's tough to, you know, it's tough to follow. It's tough to understand. He's up and down. Rutgers is up and down. Just as suddenly, though, Gio picked it back up offensively and started going toe-to-toe with Davis on Wisconsin. And the lead kind of seesawed back and forth. Wisconsin's up by one. Rutgers up by one. Wisconsin's up by one. It was actually very exciting for a while. But time after time in the second half, as in the first half, Rutgers gave up wide-open three-point looks to Wisconsin, who drained them, and it just, they were daggers for us. McConnell continued to suck balls offensively and hurt Rutgers as they were trying to come back. Emery missed a couple big free throws at the end of the game. That really, really hurt us, among other ways in which Rutgers has regressed over the last week or so, by the way. Making free throws can be added to that list. They were making them really well, and then all of a sudden, they're back to Rutgers not making free throws. In the end, Gio missed a three-pointer with 4 seconds left in the game that would have tied it, and Rutgers then went on to lose their third consecutive game. It is demoralizing for fans of this team because these are winnable games that they're losing. And it's one thing, you know, if you lose to a team and you played well and they're just better than you, it's quite another when you play poorly, make mistakes, and lose a close game. They lost to Michigan, and it wasn't that close, but they were better than them. And they lost to Wisconsin today, who was a very good team, but Rutgers, if they played well, would have won this damn game. Rutgers missed a lot of free throws. Rutgers turned the ball over way too often. Rutgers took too many fouls. Rutgers started the game very slowly. Rutgers continued to miss shot after shot, especially early in the game. And when you do that against a good team, unfortunately, you're not going to win very often. Now, Rutgers has 2 games left this season. They played Indiana, who almost never loses at home, and then they finish the season home against Penn State. They likely have to win both of those games in order to make the NCAA tournament. This is the position that they put themselves in with these 3 consecutive losses. So, you know, here's hoping that Rutgers turns it around. Go RU. I want to thank you for listening to Jersey Guy Sports. I want you to please subscribe to the podcast if you can and tell your friends all about it. I'll be back soon with more sports talk. Have a good day.